as well. But I'm delighted to say a man who's going to talk to me about some of the action coming up tonight and a look back at last weekend's fixtures as well is a man who we do enjoy having on this show today, a man who I'm extremely jealous of when it comes to his job, because he is a Serie A commentator, an English Serie A commentator at that. Joining me here on World Football Daily to talk all things Italian football, Mr. Richard Whittle, joining us here today. Richard, mate, how are you? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I hope we find you well on this day.
I'm great, Ollie. Yeah, it's great to be back, indeed. And it's great that, you know, Serie A's back again. First week's under our belts and we're up and running. So it's wonderful to be back.
It's exactly. We're delighted here at World Football Daily to have Serie A season kicking off as well. Before we get back into last weekend's games and before we have a look ahead tonight, the breaking news today is that Tottenham Hotspur have signed Eric Lamela from Roma. With Lamela and Osvaldo gone, where does this leave this Roma side? It was a good performance on the weekend, nevertheless, but that's 31 goals from last season just gone like that.
Yeah, well, they've lost, you know, two major players. The Osvaldo move was always going to happen. He'd completely fallen out with the club and the supporters, which and in Rome's very important as well. But the Lamela deal was obviously something that the management felt they couldn't refuse. As we know, they've got the American owners who are looking to build the foundations, the financial foundations, and then from there, success on the pitch. But certainly their big loss in terms of goal scoring, and you wonder, unless they can replace them with a proven goal scorer, where the goals are going to come from. Obviously, at the weekend we saw that the goals coming from midfield, De Rossi, a rare goal for him, and Florenzi, again Totti will expect the goals from him, but they're coming from deeper positions. They bought the Ajax today from Fiorentina, who had an excellent season last year. But again, he's not an out-and-out goal scorer. Trevino either. His time at Arsenal wasn't that successful. So certainly they're missing an out-and-out goal scorer. But the Ajax is certainly an excellent replacement for Lamela. So they've made a profit on Lamela and they've brought in a young player who's going to turn 22 at the end of September.
Are we going to see Roma losing any more of their stars? I mean, for me personally, Richard, if they are saying that anybody's available, I would expect there to be a surge on people trying to get Daniele De Rossi before the transfer window is out as well.
No, that's not going to happen. De Rossi, he's definitely off the market now. He's settled whatever differences he had, really. A tough season for him on and off the pitch last year. Things have settled down again. That goal at the weekend, his celebrations, everything suggested he'll be staying. Pjanic the same. It was either Pjanic or Lamela to go, really. And Rudy Garcia made it clear that he didn't want to lose Pjanic. So Lamela, when Tottenham came in, had an amazing offer, 30 million plus a 5 million bonus for a player who had an excellent season last year, but still unproven. He's got the potential, but Roma have worked well. Martinez, a young player as well, excellent season last year, but still 18, and they cashed in on him. So they're making the moves off the pitch on the transfer market, and I think that'll probably be the end of it, of players leaving, the high profile players leaving. Certainly, I don't think we'll see De Rossi or Pjanic following Lamela.
And if anybody was worried about losing those two goal scorers, the result on the weekend, at least starting very positively for Roma, you mentioned Daniele De Rossi's fantastic striker, Florenzi as well on the score sheet. And I guess the best way to answer any question marks about this transfer policy is to go out there and get the results on the pitch. And Roma looked very good for their money against Livorno away from home.
Well, they did. There seems to be a new serenity around the team. They're very patient against Livorno side, who just did not play football and looked very weak, looked completely out of their depth in the top flight. And this is a problem. It's something I've been saying for a number of years, where I do feel that we should go back to Serie A of 18 clubs and improve the quality, because there's always a couple of clubs, and you've got to say Livorno are one of them, even after one match. I don't see how they're going to really improve as the season goes on. And for Roma, it was almost like a training game. The difference what we saw with Verona, who do look a quality side coming up from Serie B, and really took the game to Milan and got the points. But Livorno at home against Roma and sat back defending right from the first whistle, which made it so much easier for Roma.
We'll talk about Verona in a second, Richard, because it's a very soft spot for me. Rafa, thankfully, hasn't been taking the mick too much today, although the last 2 days he has been rubbing that result in. Let's quickly look at Inter Milan, though. A new manager, fresh start, if you will, for Inter as they continue to try and talk their way about this rebuilding process at the club. A good win for against Genoa in terms of kicking off the season again and showing that there maybe is a bit of fresh blood in Inter.
Well, again, for Walter Mazzarri, this is where he comes to the fore, really, when he's using the resources are limited. He's very good at making the best of limited resources, and you've got to say that Inter have that this year. There isn't a lot of quality through that Inter team. They're a solid team, and they'll be up there in the top five battling away, but there's nothing that special about them. They've still got the old guard. They've got a few proven youngsters as well. Plus, again, they came up against a Genoa side that just did nothing. Again, that's the disappointing thing. I think in the first week, the thing that's been disappointing for a lot of the away teams is that they didn't put up much of a fight and really try to catch out the big teams on the opening day, which was disappointing. And you can see that maybe this season there's going to be a real dogfight for a relegation.
Is Mazzarri at Inter, is he going to be expected to have this team playing European football again next season? I mean, you look at the top five right now, and if you replace Torino with Juventus, as we expect that to do, that those five teams already there could already be the top five for the rest of the season. But you've still got Lazio to maybe try and fit in there as well, and AC Milan.
Well, of course, it's going to be a real battle to get into Europe. So this season, you're looking at Inter and Roma. If they miss out again, it is an absolute catastrophe for them in the sense that if you're out of Europe for 2-3 seasons, it's just not the income that you lose, but also your standing in the European game. So for Inter, it is really a matter of getting back into Europe. But would you get back into in the Europa League or Champions League? I can't see Inter finishing in the top three, really, at the moment, looking at their squad. And Europa League, a real battle, of course. As you say, there's Lazio, Roma, and also Udinese will come good. There could be another couple of surprise teams as well. But certainly, Mazzarri's aim this season is to get back into Europe, possibly it'll be the Europa League.
Now, those top three positions arguably could be set and ready for Napoli, AC Milan and Juventus, if anything like last season's to go by, of course. Juve grinding out a win against Sampdoria. Difficult conditions, difficult place to go as well. Conte was very pleased after that game in his press conference. Are you as pleased, do you think, with Juventus' performance on the weekend?
Well, the performance was what you'd expect of a Juve side away from home, knowing that they're going to be setting the standard each time they go out this season. And for Juventus, what comes first? Getting the result. And that's what Conte's done over the last two seasons. That's why they're champions. And it's getting results against sides such as Sampdoria away from home, winning at the lower sides, the mid-table sides. Okay, you might lose once against Milan, you might lose against Inter, but over the course of a whole season, it is about grinding out the results away from home. If it's 1-0, even better for Conte, because you didn't give away a goal, and that's what he never wants to give away a goal. And the goal they scored was Barcelona-like in its swift passing, one-touch football in and around the penalty area. A fine goal it was. And as you said, the conditions were horrendous as well. So I know last season as well, Sampdoria beat Juve twice. So for Juventus, the important thing was to get off to a winning start away from home.
Especially for Juve in the heart of that midfield, Pogba has looked absolutely fantastic over the back end of last season and started well on the weekend. How integral has he become to this Juventus side? How important to their play is Pogba, considering that he was almost brought in as I think to many people in the UK, it was like a side thought, if you will.
Yeah, incredible. He has been absolutely amazing. As you said, at the tail end of last season, he really gave notice of what a classy player he is. Just 20 and so confident and dominating in the midfield. Tall, rangy player, difficult to knock off the ball. And certainly with his maturity and the belief and confidence that he's getting from the club and from Antonio Conte, he is going to be a star performer for Juventus this season. And his progression also takes the pressure off the rest of the midfield. Antonio Conte can look at maybe resting Vidal now and again, maybe leaving Pirlo on the bench in a couple of games, knowing that he's got this young player, this dominant player in the centre of midfield to take over. So I feel that he's just going to go from strength to strength, and with that, Juventus as well.
Now, Richard, you're, of course, getting set to watch AC Milan this evening in the Champions League take on PSV. Let's look back at the result. I've been putting it off long enough on the weekend. The loss to Verona in the newly promoted side's first win of the season coming on the first day of the season. Credit to Verona or points thrown away by a lacklustre AC Milan?
Well, I think you can look at both scenarios, really. credit to Verona for not fearing the mighty Milan and taking the game to them. But also at the same time, Milan started the first 15 minutes. They got the goal, wonderful play by Balotelli. They could have pushed on there because Verona were very nervous. They hadn't got the pace of the game. And Milan were playing the ball around and looking a classy side, which they are a classy side. But suddenly they stopped playing. And Verona get a chance, they grow in confidence, and then the old failings come to the fore for Milan, which those failings are set pieces, high ball played into the area, the simple ball, they can't defend against that. They just do not have the players to defend against that. It's always been a failing for Milan, strangely enough. And then another element was the desire from Verona, and especially Luca Toni at 36 years old, showed El Shaarawy, Niang, and Balotelli to a certain extent, although Balotelli was still probably Milan's best player on the day, that desire to win, desire to battle for your team, that's what gets you results in the end. And that's something that's really missing from the Milan team. And that was a big disappointment at the weekend. There's no doubt the quality is there, but you need more than the quality. You've got to battle and have that desire to win matches.
Luca Toni surely is going to be an incredibly big part of any chance that Verona have of staying up, do you not think, Richard?
Well, he is. I mean, that's the biggest signing they've had for decades and decades at Verona. It's not going to be like that every week because teams are going to work out how Verona are going to play. And Verona are very much a counter-attacking team, leaving Luca Toni as the lone striker playing the ball up. Then he brings the midfielders into the game. And the example, at the weekend, Milan are a very attacking team. They don't play on the counter-attack that much, Milan. They like to take the game to the opposition. But other teams will look at Verona's style and decide, well, we'll sit back and we'll draw Verona out and play on the counter-attack. And I think then they'll really struggle because then they'll have to change their tactics and Luca Toni will be less of a threat. So having said that, he's still going to be the focal point of the team, and even though they defeated Milan, their first objective will be to finish just above the bottom three. Fourth bottom will do Verona this season.
Just above the top three there for a second, Richard. Yeah, I think that
just
would
above
be
the top three could be Milan, and if they don't turn things around. Because on a serious note, remember last season they started badly, and at one stage it looked as if Massimiliano Allegri was going to lose his job. They were in the lower reaches of the table by mid-October, and then they were able to turn it around, but they left themselves far too much to do. So Juve picked up the victory at Sampdoria, so they've got one away win under their belts. Milan have an away defeat under their belts. So already they're starting on the back foot. So that little slip up about the top three may see Milan really struggling to get into the top three, with Fiorentina looking very strong as to be up there as at the moment, certainly. I know it's very early, but looking at the top three, you would say Juve, Napoli and Fiorentina.
Now, Richard, just kicking off in a few hours' time is the AC Milan game against against PSV this evening in the Champions League qualification round. It was a game, the first leg, that many felt that Milan could and should have got more out of. Tonight, there is that worry from some that the young kids of PSV will go out without any fear and take the game to Milan and could, on a large pitch, run them a little bit ragged. With the heads down slightly, this game is huge for the Rossoneri to get through tonight, not just because of getting into the Champions League, but to get a positive lift around this club.
No, of course. And in the positive side for Milan, the great thing for Milan looking back is that in 2003 they came through the qualifying stages and got to the final and won it. 2007, the qualifying stages, got the final, won it. So they've got history on their side, and certainly they're back down to earth. That defeat at Verona really should focus the players, knowing that they can't afford to go out there being distracted and not being focused on the task in hand. They saw from the first leg that PSV are a very committed side. They look fragile at the back, and unfortunately Milan didn't take advantage of that, especially down the flanks. So tonight you're saying the big pitch may suit PSV, but also the wide pitch of the San Siro should suit Milan if Abate and Di Ciglio can get down the flanks and support the midfield, and Milan to get roll the ball into the middle for the runs of El Shaarawy. And certainly Balotelli is going to be the main man tonight. Overall, I still feel Milan should go through. If they don't, then they don't deserve to be in the group stage of the Champions League. And we're looking at a bit of a crisis at the club. But overall, with a couple of hours before kickoff, I'm confident that Milan can go through and start strongly, get the early goal, and then push on from there to get the second goal. That's what they really need. They can't have that dip in form after 20 minutes, which they had at the weekend.
Would this be Allegri's head on the chopping block if they didn't make it, or is it already on the chopping block after the result? I mean, you talk about kind of rash decisions, but it is a common thing in Italy. And as we saw with Allegri last year, it was on the chopping block for a long time.
Well, you might say the chopping block, but I would, if I was Mr. Allegri, I'd be looking over my shoulder, the daggers in the back. Really, he's got Galliani, who is protecting him at the moment. He wants to keep him as coach, but certainly Mr. Berlusconi took a lot of persuading to keep Allegri on this summer. So Allegri's got to deliver the goods, and that means the Champions League. There's a big financial reward as well for getting to the group stage of the Champions League, plus also, if Milan go out tonight, that will be the biggest scalp to go out in the playoffs for a long, long time. So there's so much riding on this match. And he's a tough character. He's proven to his worth last season, turning things around. But now Milan are expected to push on with this younger side. And certainly tonight, if they don't go through, I think there could be possibly the end for Mr. Allegri. But if they do go through, then it strengthens his position again. And from there, well, we're all hoping, obviously, here in Italy that Milan do go through, because we don't want to see Italy only represented by two clubs in the Champions League. And again, with that ranking situation and looking at the other countries such as France and even Portugal and Holland improving in Europe, we don't want to be in a position where Italy's struggling just with two teams in the Champions League.
Yeah, I'm sure we all want to see more Serie A on our screens, especially with how entertaining the league was last year. And we want to see them progressing through the Champions League as well, especially the Rossoneri tonight, from a personal point of view. Richard, thank you so much for joining us today, mate. We always appreciate you taking the time out to have a chat with us. And we hope that you enjoy the game. And for Italy's sake, it's the right result for Milan tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, Forza Rossoneri stasera. Come on, come on, the red and black this evening.
And I, on that note, I will leave you and love you at the same time. Richard, thank you so much for joining us, mate. Take care and enjoy the game.
Okay, cheers, thanks.
Cheers, bye now. Richard Whittle there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Serie A and a little bit of AC Milan in the Champions League tonight. A huge, huge game for the Rossoneri to say take on PSV Eindhoven. The young kids, can they do it in the Serie, in the San Siro? Hopefully not. Zenit St. Petersburg take on Paços de Ferreira tonight. Maribor against Pilsen. Celtic take on Shakhtar Karagandy, as we've spoken about earlier. Real Sociedad, Olympic Lyonnais, and Milan PSV all tonight in the Champions League. There is also...